Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. Well, hey, everybody. This is Jordan Thigpen. Excited to be joined today by Morgan Nowak and Austin Hagen. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. So today is going to be a lot more of a relaxed conversation. We really only have one goal today, and that is to honor the life of Jude O'Donnell. Jude was a heart and soul with us here at Connection. He served in guest services. Everybody here at our church definitely knows him as the guy with the cowboy hat for sure. And he passed away this past weekend. He was out in the heat working, came inside to cool off and lay down on the couch and woke up with the Lord. And we don't know if it was a brain aneurysm or we don't know if it was a stroke or what we do know is that he passed very peacefully when Chris Miller found him. Chris just called him, texted him, couldn't get a hold of him. And so just went by just to check on him, just as a friend. And when he got there, he just looked like he had just passed away in his sleep, taking a nap. And so we just wanted to honor him. And two, it's on my mind too. This is a fresh event, but it's also thinking about Mr. Burt, you know. Mr. Burt passed away around Christmas of this past year. And very similar. I mean, just out of the blue, completely out of nowhere. But we've had these people in the life of our church, in particular with Bert and Jude, these two men that served so faithfully, shared the gospel so frequently, loved people in our church so well. And I think those are two people that that I think there's a lot about their life that's worth emulating, that's worth thinking about, that's worth considering. And so I wanted to just start for you guys. You know, Morgan is over our guest services team, and Jude served on her team and had a chance to get to know him. And then before Morgan was doing that role, Austin was doing that role. And so in both of those situations, I think Mr. Burt had passed shortly after you had switched from guest services to college. But for all of those, both of those guys and both of those teams, what are some memories that you have of Jude, or just a story that you think that you'd like to share that stands out to you?
Yeah, I'll go first. So as in case you can't tell by the cowboy hat, Jude was from Texas. And I'm from Texas, in case you didn't know.
Shout out Texas.
Shout out Texas. No, the reason I mentioned that is because he had a really unique way of making me almost feel like I had a little bit of home with me, even though I'm so far away from home. And that was really unique to him because not many people have that gift to make you feel that way. And sometimes, you know, I can feel out of my element because it's a different culture and different people and I don't have family here. And then without a shadow of a doubt, Jude would walk in and he'd be carrying like an HEB bag, which is a local grocery store, you know, and I'd be reminded like, oh no, Jude's here with me, you know? And it was really interesting because the second that he learned that we are both, you know, Texans, it's something that he kind of would use often to further our relationship and to use just to create more community between us. It was something we had in common. You know, if you looked at me and Jude from the outside, you'd think, hey, they don't have a lot in common. But it was something that we both thought was very important to us, that we both shared. And it was something that he took right from the beginning to build community between us and would always bring up to remind me that, like, I'm not here alone, right? You know, and I have family here and I have people that get it. And he's right here all the time too. And that was really special for me.
Oh, I love that. I mean, how can you even feel like you're a real Texan? You don't have any cowgirl boots.
In my closet, I do.
Nice. That's all. I mean, just that small little detail. That is the multiplying life, is taking the thing that you have in common and stewarding it towards love for Jesus. That's beautiful. That's awesome.
I think one of the things for me that stood out about Jude is, first of all, he was a stranger to no one. I mean, like, he was more than willing to say hey and even give a hug to people. They were like, are we even on hug level here? You know? But I love that about him. And everybody loved that about him. And so a lot of times it was just quick kind of passing conversations, especially in the guest services world. It's Sunday morning. You're like, you're getting ready for guest. But I'll never forget, a few months ago, we were in like the cafe area, and he just, you know, how you doing, Austin? I'm good, good. And it was kind of like a passing thing. But I remember he just stopped me. Like, he grabbed my arm. He said, no. Like, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And it was just like an intentional, he wanted to know what was underneath the surface, you know, and that, to me, that, especially as I've learned about Jude since he's passed, it's like he really desired that from people. And he had that kind of relationship with people. It wasn't just surface level, which you saw Sundays, but he really wanted that deeper connection. So I really valued that in him.
Yeah. That's tremendous. Morgan, what was the first question you asked whenever you found out Jude had passed away?
What's happening with his dogs?
Dogs?
Where are his dogs?
He's a fellow dog lover. Morgan's a huge dog lover, loves dogs. And I'll never forget that. One of the first questions she asked was what's going on with his dogs. His dogs are being well taken care of.
They're just safe.
So you know, they're with Guy Doty. So he's taking great care of them. But I thought that was funny too. Yeah, the prayer component, that is for sure the thing that has solidified the most in my mind as a memory of Jude. Andrew Kamak has been kind of hanging around doing some ministry stuff with us and served super faithfully in students. But we were Sunday morning just, you know, how was your weekend? Like, oh, well, you know, Jude passed away. And he's like, Jude, who's that? And I said, the guy that wears a cowboy hat. And he said, oh, that guy told me every Sunday how he was praying for me.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And that's the thing that is like the thing that like shakes your hand about Jude is that he had this very like intentional prayer process. Do you remember, could you explain that, Morgan? Do you know it well enough to explain it?
Yeah. So he actually got it from a book called Praying Life by Paul Miller. And what he did is he would take note cards, and he'd have a note card per person or for a specific, maybe for Connection Church, he has one. And he'd put maybe two or three things that he knows he needs to be praying for because he's asked you, what can I be praying for? And he writes that on your card. So for example, if it was mine, maybe it'd say Morgan at the top, praying for X, Y, and Z, and then a verse that he has chosen to pray over you. Mm-hmm. And then he'd go through all of his cards as far as I understand every day or maybe every other day. And pray those things. And then he would ask about them often. And then when one got completed or the Lord did it or it was no longer an issue, he would mark it off and ask, what can I add in its place?
Wow.
And you know, what's really special about this is he got Seth doing it too. And Seth was doing Jude's card while we were on vacation last week. And he realized that everything he'd been praying for Jude had been marked off. And he said, when we get off the cruise, I have to ask him what needs to be added.
Wow.
And we got off the cruise. Got off the cruise, Jude was gone. It's just unique to see how the Lord was fixing all things for Jude, you know, kind of getting him ready. Like the things Jude had been worrying about were no longer on his card, you know, and that's just really cool to me to see that he was in a really good place with the Lord before he left.
There was a story from Chris Miller, I'm sure he'll share this at the funeral, but that the coroner comes in, Chris calls the coroner once he finds Jude, and the coroner shows up and they're doing their whatever a coroner does, and said that he walked out and Chris was in the yard either talking to Guy or talking, you know, fielding a lot of different responsibilities. But the coroner comes out and says, you don't see many like this one. And Chris was like, shrugging his shoulders, like, what do you mean? He said, I know where that guy went. Because I saw his prayer closet, and we don't have. Who knows? Is the coroner a believer? Whatever you could say, but that guy's conclusion, based off of just something indicating the way that he prayed, was I believe that guy went to heaven. You know, like that's not a small thing to say. You know, kind of makes me want to go commit a B&E to go get my prayer card out of his house and see if I could get in there and bring that thing home to my office or whatever. But
that, I mean, it's so cool. I was talking to somebody this Sunday. We were talking about Jude, and the person I was talking to said, yeah, Jude made a point to text me frequently and just ask how he could pray for me. Hmm. And the guy that told me that, I didn't even know him and Jude like knew each other. There was no context for them like being friends other than they go to our church, but it's not like I saw them together a lot. And it just was marking to me to think that Jude regularly like reached out to people in our church to see how he could pray, even if they weren't, you know, best buddies or served on the same team or in the same small group. I don't know how, but they had a friendship. And Jude said, you know what, I'm going
to
pray for you.
Think about that in regards to multiplication. Like, it wasn't the overwhelming aspects of similarity that led to a shared fellowship in the Lord. It was a commitment to a life of intentionality that bridged the gap in their relationship. So it wasn't, we are in the same group. Our group is marked by the same life stage, age, color, gender, preferences. It wasn't any of those things, right? It just was Jude had a value of prayer. And he spread that value liberally to people to invite them into that. Mm. Another question I was going to ask you, Morgan. There was something. Jude was in the process thinking about the things that were crossed off of his prayer card. I know one of them was, what do I do now that I'm retired? Mm-hmm. And he had just gotten on with an organization that you really like a lot. We as a church really like a lot, but Morgan spends a lot of time relating to them. That's Freedom Through Recovery. Mm-hmm. So what was he getting ready to do with them? And what was that role going to look like? If you have any insight into that?
Yeah, I do. So Freedom Through Recovery, just like it sounds, is a recovery organization here in Statesboro. And Jude wasn't very loud about it, but I'm pretty positive he wouldn't mind me sharing that he was 28 years sober. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge achievement, you know, and he wasn't a Christian that whole time, which almost makes it seem like a bigger achievement to me because he didn't even have, you know, Jesus to lean on for some of that time, but he did it anyways. And so after he retired, he felt like he needed something to fill his time. And so he started going to Freedom Through Recovery and just going to their intentional time with God and AA meetings and getting community there with the fellow people in recovery, addicts and former addicts and things like that. And they, at first, as far as I understand, were just going to pay him pretty much to like drive the bus. You know, they have a kind of organization bus now. And he was excited to do it. He was so excited to spend more time with these people and in the organization. And it wasn't to him like, oh, that's a job below me. He said, of course I'll drive that bus. Mm-hmm. You know, is that helpful? Then I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that as he grew in his role, he'd become more of a counselor in the organization, help people work through the 12 steps, help people hopefully even maybe make it into church if they're interested, or knowing Jude, maybe even if they're not interested at first, get them interested.
He'd have them become interested.
But just counsel these people through how to do the sober life and how to make good choices, how to get their family on track and things like that.
Yeah. One of the last conversations I had with Jude, it was the Sunday before this past Friday. I think it was that day, or either it was the Sunday before, he came up to me and said, hey, you won't believe what came off of my prayer card. Like, I've been very anxious about what is this next step in my life? And he fully saw, and I didn't know the details. He just said, this new Freedom Through Recovery opportunity that I have is something I'm getting ready to say yes to, and it is a huge answer to prayer. And now the details of it are he was going to start by driving the bus for the organization. Mm-hmm. There's so much about that of like the humility to start where the door is open and have the best people that have ever been involved in my life are the type of people that no task was ever below them and that the Lord never despises humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. And so Jude is just a huge example of that, and FTR with him being willing to serve in that is just to go 2 feet in with something because it's a worthy cause. Not my position is worthy within the cause, but it is a worthy cause. Mm-hmm. So any other thoughts or stories from Jude?
That to me, I mean, it just makes sense because I remember talking to Jude back when he was going through the initial, like, I'm about to retire. Like, he wasn't fully retired yet. And I remember one of the biggest things he was processing through was like, this is going to remove me from relationships mm-hmm. that he had made with those that he worked with. And it was like, that was one of his biggest concerns about retiring mm-hmm. was, you know, now I won't be with the guys that I worked with. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that he would now retire and then start looking for where and who can I invest my time into? Mm-hmm. He was just that kind of guy that cared about people, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when we think about... when we think about Mr. Burt, when we think about Jude, what are some things related to, like, a huge component of multiplication starts with personal character. What were some characteristics of those two guys that stood out to you that are things that you would commend any follower of Jesus, but specifically leaders, to emulate?
The first one, we've already touched on this, but I think of intentionality. They both were very intentional. If you mention something in passing, oh, my grandma's sick, next Sunday, certainly they're going to ask about your grandma.
Yes.
They have not forgotten. They have probably been praying, you mm-hmm. know. So that's one of the first ones that comes to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Intentional. That's a huge one. Mr. Burt was always not just, I mean, for sure intentional in the important stuff, but like he just was had a way of feeling involved in your life. And he was intentional about that. I love that.
You know, the thing that comes to my mind is, and it's partly because I've been studying, and I won't go down this rabbit hole, but I've been studying some stuff about masculinity and the role of masculinity in men and how it, a lot of times it gets like twisted in culture and how a lot of culture now has like a improper view of what it means to be masculine. But one of the things that they've pointed out, because I've been listening to, it's a biblical podcast on it, is that being masculine requires being tender.
Hmm.
And it's not culture's view of masculinity, which is this like rough, tough guy. And I think of those two guys as being that, as being tender. You know, these like older guys, and they were masculine for sure. I mean, gosh, they both shook your hand and you could feel the weight of their hand. You think about that. But they were tender with people. I mean, Mr. Burt loved people, loved his kids, his grandkids. I mean, he... I think about his relationship with Michelle and how they used to always joke about hockey stuff. And then the same with Jude, of just, you could feel his care for people. Mm-hmm. And that's not a typical like masculine trait. If you look at masculinity and culture, it's typically a selfish kind of macho man mentality. Yeah. And they were the opposite. And not because they weren't manly, but they just, they showed what it meant to be a biblical man.
Mm-hmm.
And that I just think that's one of the biggest things I saw from them.
Now, another way to say that is they accurately portrayed a loving heavenly father in a lot of ways, you know?
That's like so true.
Their tenderness is an extension of the of godliness, right? Yep. And the masculine characteristics of God, and of course women being created in the image of God, also the loving, tender, like I've listened to a book recently by Jason Wilson, who does a lot of that, like using MMA and jujitsu to help boys through trauma and young kids. It's really cool. Yeah. But saying that forcing men to only ever exude masculine traits is a sure way to not lead them to comprehensive manhood because of things like tenderness that are still clear attributes of God. And so for both of them, I can remember times for both of those men seeing them cry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can think of, I've been hugged by both of those men.
Yep.
You know, I've been prayed for and like sympathized and empathized with by those men. I think that's a tremendous insight, Austin. That's really good. I'm trying to think of one that's one for Morgan. Did you have another one?
I mean, something that is hilarious kind of to me in a strange way when I think about Jude now, you know, I wasn't unfortunately here on Sunday, but I heard about the cowboy hats and the boots, you know, and everything to just kind of like love Jude, you know, even though he's gone. And when I think about it, it makes me think that Jude, if you were to see it, would be like, get your eyes off of me and put them back on Jesus, which I think it'd make him feel loved, but he was quick to remind you what mattered, you know, and that's special, you know, even in the midst of all of this, I still get a laugh out of thinking like Jude wouldn't stand for this for very long, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, yeah, I mean, Jude, this, like, speaking of cowboy hats, like, sometime in 2022, I just made, like, an offhanded comment, like, you know, I'm gonna get me a cowboy hat one day, you know? And that was, like, in May or June of last year. And then for Christmas, he handed me a cowboy hat. Hmm. That was something he got for me to, like, and I don't think it was a, like, yeah, come on, man, join the team. It just was, like, I made a comment about that, and he, like, just out of the generosity of his own heart, just remembered that about me and gave it to me. And now I don't even want to wear it. I just want to like frame it and put it on the wall or like just hang it on the wall somewhere in my office. But, you know, I one that sticks out to me, I think maybe for Jude, is he was dedicated to being a witness, mm-hmm. When it comes to traits of leaders. Probably the thing that people knew the most about Jude was his role in guest services, but he was a Connect Group leader. Mm-hmm. And I remember leading, so we started, you know, really trying to teach and train and encourage triads and meeting with people one-on-two or one-on-one for the purposes of discipleship. And Jude wound up in that meeting and at the end of it, he was like, yeah, you know, I've been a part of these evangelistic trainings in the past too. And it was, and the, you know, that was not a training on evangelism, but Jude's internalization of how do I help somebody grow in their likeness of Jesus was, I'm going to go out and find a lost person and I'm going to share the gospel with them. And he was very focused on making heaven full. Mm. And, that was just who he was. And now that was matched with a lot of discipline and a lot of intentionality and strategy for him to grow in his relationship with the Lord. But nothing ever took priority over making sure the lost had an opportunity to respond to the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot about, I want to learn from that, from him, of that type of intentionality. So, anything else? Anything on Mr. Burt? Anything on Jude? Anything about stories or memories or traits of those men that stand out to you guys?
I mean, I think we said so much about both of them. The thing for me, and death usually does this, and it's where my mind has been this week, is like, man, I don't want to look back and regret how I lived, you know? And gosh, for both of them, it just came so suddenly. And I have regrets now of like, man, I wish I would have told Jude like what I thought of him, how much I appreciated him. I wish I wouldn't have taken for granted his hugs. I wish, I wouldn't have blown that off and those kinds of things. But I also just use this opportunity as a chance to go, man, I want to be, like you said, I want to be intentional about how I care for people. Gosh, the things that, and the ways I could grow and how I pray for people. Like, I think I'm just trying to use this as a way to go, you know, I hope something similar could be said about me if that time ever came for me, which it will one day. but when that time comes for me, you know, what will people say? Will they say, man, that was a man devoted to prayer and he told me he prayed for me? Or could it be the opposite of like, I don't know what that guy's prayer life was like, you know? And I hope the latter is not true, but
yeah, the same. Yeah. I feel that too. Yeah. Like I wish that I would have taken him to dinner at some point. Yeah. I wish that I would have hung out with him, you know. I wish that, it definitely pushes me to live more intentionally. I think as a leader, like you, especially when you're like in charge of so many areas, you think about all the ways that you want to see the next thing or things to grow or things to change instead of seeing what is praiseworthy in people and what is commendable. And the former is definitely not listed biblically, but the latter definitely is listed biblically. What is praiseworthy? What is commendable? What is worthy of honor? Think about these things, and I want to do better about that as well. Well, cool. Well, you know, we won't not to to belabor the point or anything, but just those are two men worthy of our celebration, worthy of our taking time to just remember them. You know, here's to living a life that impacts people.
That's right.
People are our measure of success as believers, to how we can impact them, serve them, care for them, you know, reach them with the gospel. And those are guys that leverage their lives in the context and space that they were. And there's something too about that, you know, they made a difference in their job, whatever career they were working, whether it was the railroad or where Mr. Burt worked, and kind of the different places that he went, like he made a difference. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that as well. This Saturday we will have a celebration of Jude's life at 6 p.m. In the auditorium. Chris Miller is going to lead us in the eulogy of that, and we'll have potluck style food afterwards. So if you're listening to this and you're a part of our church, or even if you're not, I know Jude would want you to be there anyway,
right,
and to eat the food and be loved on and to celebrate the gospel, which I know that's what Chris is going to do in his message. So so thank y'all for listening to this. You know, anything that is within this that has been helpful, and as a personal example from Jude and from Mr. Burt, make a plan, act on it, put something into rotation, put something into movement that is going to to change the way we act, not just be an aspiration, but it be something that we actually act on. So I hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next time. Thank you.